Roll call, Howard Halstorm.
Tony Beardston.
Carol.
Mike Camp.
Mary Light.
Dave Russell.
Selma.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's so beautiful out. We should go out on the lanai.
All right, comments from the public.
We have some people that would like to speak. Renee Kane is going to talk about celebrate the arts.
Hi, I'm Renee Kane. I'm president of the High School Parent Teacher Guild. Anybody that knows me knows that I hate to speak in public, so I made notes. We would like to invite you, the board, to this year's Celebrate the Arts. It's a masquerade gala celebrating our school's 10th year anniversary. It's April the 4th, 6 p.m. at the Four Point Sheridan, Bentonville. The proceeds raised are used to fund the PTG scholarship and teacher classroom needs and requests. This year, the PTG is putting in over $25,000 to the high school, with over $18,000 of that coming from the CTAs from last year. These funds are used for a variety of things for our school, including enough copies of The Great Gatsby, so there's one available for each student to check out. Last week we purchased IXL licenses for our new students because we had used all the licenses that we had. We fund many of the arts related items, consumables such as paint, dry erase markers. We have paid costume rental for our last production, paid twice to tune all the pianos in the school. We bought guitars and a lot of different things for our arts program. During the spending freeze, we purchased 6 cases of copy paper, 24 rolls of scratch tape, and 60 boxes of Kleenex for the high school to use. The PTG believes it's important for the board to show their support in our endeavor, and we invite you to attend. Our event this year is being sponsored by Flint Co. and Hype Jackson, both of whom have given us $3,000 apiece, and we'll be having 8 guests apiece attending the event. Tickets are $65 or we have a $250 sponsorship, which includes 2 tickets, the remaining funds, less the cost of our meals, which are approximately $20 a meal, are given to the academics or the art of your choice. So if you want to buy a sponsorship and give the money to the guitar program, $210 would go straight to that program. If you cannot attend, or this just isn't your sort of event, it's a masquerade gala. And I know people that say, I'd rather go and have a root canal. Yeah. Please consider purchasing and donating your tickets. Last year, Mike and his family had plans, and he purchased a $250 sponsorship and donated his tickets. Those tickets went to the family of a senior who could not afford tickets, and they got to attend the last CTA for their student. So that really meant a lot to that family. I have ticket order forms with me, or if you like to purchase online, you can order them through Eventbrite, and you just go to eventbrite.com, search Celebrate the Arts. If you have any questions, and I have order forms with me, if you have any questions, my contact info is on the school's website under the Parent Teacher Organizations, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you would, please make sure that you relay our appreciation for everything that the PTG has done through the lifetime of the school, but also in the recent year. Thank you very much.
Well, we are really happy to be able to help any way we can.
I want to tell you, Renee is special. Renee is the grandma. And mom,
pretty much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she can't get around very well, and she forces herself to get around. And one day her car broke down, and she borrowed a car, and it was all to go get donations for this thing. So I just want you to know that's a lot of heart. So
mm-hmm.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Amber Carson.
For
those of you don't know me, I'm a parent here at the Arts Academy. I have a junior and a senior. This is our second year here. We did move from Central Arkansas to attend an arts-based school. So we moved here for this campus. A lot of things have been very pleasant and wonderful, and there have been some wonderful opportunities. There have also been a few harrowing concerns, and that's why I'm here this evening. I had a meeting this last week with Mary, with Rachel Carpenter, with a teacher, and Mrs. Hurt. And we all discussed the 40 pages of emails and screenshots that I have of bullying incidents that have taken place since our first semester here with my daughter, who is a junior. Many of the incidents have happened with five particular students, and they've been ongoing, and they've been persistent, and they've been in different settings. And my first communication reaching out to administration and teachers for help was in December of 2018. And I have documentation of all of this that I'd be happy to share. Honestly, there was an incident that just kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back, and I said, I'm done going to the same people over and over. I am going to email a board president, I'm going to email the superintendent, and copy all the people who already know all the history, and we're going to have a sit down. And so we did. And some of the people in that room were not aware of everything that had taken place. Some people that are in admin positions in our school have been aware of every incident. I've been told we can't tell you what's being done to a specific student because, you know, you're a parent, which I understand, but I also expect things to be addressed. And so I asked for the bullying policy, and Ms. Lee emailed that to me a few days later. But when I looked at the policy, and I have it with me, the bottom of that policy states that the definition of bullying, as well as the disciplinary actions for bullying, will be posted in every classroom and common space in the school. It's not posted anywhere. And then when I asked about the disciplinary actions for bullying, which all of my 40 pages of emails and screenshots certainly make it very clear that these situations meet the definition of bullying. I said, what are those disciplinary actions? I was pointed to the handbook. So I went to the handbook to reference it. And unfortunately, I couldn't find any clear answers about offense one, this happens, offense two, this happens, offense three, this happens. My plea to you as a board is to be very involved in the culture that we're creating on our campus. I'll try not to get emotional. I'm a mom. Okay. We have been involved in arts in a professional setting. We have been involved in arts in a community setting, and we have been involved in arts in an academic setting. And what I'm about to say, I take no pleasure in saying, but we've never experienced a more toxic environment than the one we've experienced here. That does not reflect every teacher. That does not reflect every student. But it is the reality of the situation that we have had here in the last three semesters. Sadly, the perpetrators are a small percentage. But as long as we allow those things to continue and we don't nip them in the bud and we don't take proactive measures to have a positive, encouraging, and safe space, then they will continue. And it's not okay. So we claim to be inclusive, and the arts should be inclusive and safe, because we can't produce confident. Artists are asked to be vulnerable, and artists are asked to take risks, and they can't do that in a space that isn't safe.
Amber, I have one more minute for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I've been told that some bullying things were planned but didn't get initiated because of like maternity leaves and stuff, which is completely understandable. But we are looking at whether my junior returns here next year or not. So I would love to see some proactive measures and some things being intentionally put into place. I'd like some answers to my questions that I've asked. Okay, I'll move on. So coronavirus, is that on your agenda?
No.
Okay. My first question is, why is it not on the agenda?
Well, they get all the stuff I've been sending to you. So.
Right. But the situation changes every single day, as you're all very aware. So I feel like it's something that should be at the foremost of what we're all talking about. My concern here, which there's no way I can share with you in 40 seconds that I have remaining, is that the CDC, DHS, and World Health Organizations have all confirmed that prevention of spread is basically our only weapon against this right now. We do have children and teachers with underlying health issues. Campuses across the country, universities, hospitals, businesses, even where there's not a huge outbreak yet, are taking measures. My question to you is, what are those steps? And you have communicated several things with me, but I feel that we should be meeting with our cleaning staff and talking to them one-on-one. When I came in
We have been.
Okay, good. I'm glad to know that. Because when we came in for performance awards Saturday, the bathrooms were filthy.
Okay.
The tables hadn't been cleaned yet.
Well, I'll call them.
So, I mean, you just need to know that.
Okay.
But my thing is, we're going to have a bunch of people traveling all over everywhere for spring break. And I know you sent an email after I talked to you about, hey, we would love for y'all to report if you're going X, Y, and Z. Well, that list continues to grow and get bigger. But the email didn't say, this is how you report, and this is specifically what we're asking you to do and how we're asking you to do that. And then my other thing is, we can't tell people to travel or not to travel.
Right.
My family's looking at travel. I'm not trying to create an environment of panic.
Sure.
Or an environment of let's ignore it and pretend it's not real.
Right.
But what I am saying is, I think we need to have a plan, and I think we need to communicate it. The second part of that is the UK. And I know Jamie's probably planning to take that trip, and she's been planning it a long time, and people have been paying for it. But what do we do? Because, like, right now, their health minister has even mentioned the possibility, or I think the quote that I read today was something about expecting hundreds to thousands of cases in a fortnight. Is that 2 weeks? Is that a fortnight?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So they're talking about making preparation for some major spread there, of course. So what happens when those students and teachers return, if, God forbid, they don't end up stuck there or something like that? So these are things I think that we have to address, and I'm just asking you to address it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Consent agenda. Has everybody had time to...
We have one more speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jamie Dale. Actually, two more, and then the auditors. Well, they're actually on the agenda, though.
Yeah.
I'm a writer, not a speaker. I usually just sit quietly over here, so I wrote out what I was going to say. When students and parents are asked why they choose Arkansas Arts Academy, their response often includes the teachers and staff. We have a unique culture here. We have a unique culture of mentoring relationships, of personal investment, truly knowing our students. It's one of the keys that makes it successful here. It's what makes us good. Maintaining this culture is not easy to do, especially lately, as we've grown tremendously in such a short amount of time. If we want to continue to have the culture that reaches the students as we do, we have to recruit and retain high-quality teachers. We cannot continue to train teachers only to have them move on to other districts. This is not a simple fix. It's not a quick fix. It can't be solved by one or two people. On a sociological level, our culture does not value public education highly, particularly if it creates any kind of personal dissonance between people. On a national level, we have a teacher shortage. And on a local level, our district cannot compete financially with financial resources of the affluent districts around us from a salary perspective. So those are givens. Additionally, teachers in our district regularly perform unpaid extra work to offer the extensive number of courses that we offer here, our extracurricular activities, other developmental opportunities on both campuses, every weekend, every evening, on the breaks. There's always things going on. Compound all of these things together, and it's clear why it's difficult to convince teachers to continue to work here. Even teachers whose hearts beat for our school, who believe in our vision and believe in our message and believe in our kids, it's hard to ask them not to leave. More work, less pay will never be an effective slogan. In the past, we've had non-monetary incentives, such as smaller class sizes, fewer behavioral issues than traditional public schools. these characteristics cannot be assigned a monetary value to teachers. They're priceless. But these incentives are quickly disappearing, or they're gone already. You have teachers that are staying here because they're loyal to our principals. A good principal is worth their weight in gold, and we have absolutely phenomenal principals. We do. No teacher on either campus is going to tell you otherwise, and nor will they take it lightly to hear a contrary voice about our leaders. Our principals have been absolutely lambasted this year. Anybody that has a problem, a student, a parent, a teacher, a neighbor, state politician with an agenda, they all give the principals an earful.
We have 30 seconds left, sorry.
Okay. Morale is low. Part of that is due to the season, end of winter angst, the standardized testing season, whatever. It's been a hard year. Budget problems have demoralized many, not only referring to the unfortunate rescheduling of raises, but the fact that teachers have spent this year purchasing their own classroom supplies for curriculum, for students to use to create projects, for books, for our classroom libraries, for snacks, for kids that can't afford them. What other job requires you to spend your paycheck on your customers? Our PTG has graciously stepped in this year, especially on this campus, and we are very grateful for them. This isn't a list of complaints, but how do we prevent this from happening again? We need financial transparency. Our principals need budgets, day-to-day operating budgets that they have a say in creating. How do we make the best use of our limited resources? We can't do that effectively if we don't plan. We will be back in the same place we were prior to this month when we were on a spending freeze and you botched yourself. I don't apologize for the content of this message. It's our reality. Our teachers, our school, and most importantly, our students are worth working through this uncomfortable to get to an ideal or even a better path. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not placing blame. I'm not complaining. I'm an optimist. I believe problems are solvable, but only if we're proactive and open as professionals.
We're going to have to call time. Thank you. Next.
That's the last speaker.
Consent agenda. Has everybody had a chance to review the agenda from the last meeting? Any comments, concerns, changes, modifications? All right. Then I'll entertain a motion to accept consent agenda. Toby, first, second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Aye has it. Motion carries. New business, audit report.
Hi, welcome, go ahead.
Okay, I'm John Evans of Planmark CPAs, and this is Dana Crawley.
Hi, Dana.
Dana's the one that actually did the work, and she's letting me do the talking. Right. So if there's any hard questions, I'm gonna flip to Dana. this is the audit for the year ended June 30th, 2019. And the audit, there's like three different reports in here. The first one's on the financial statements, and the opinion is that we issue on the financial statements is that the financial statements are fairly presented in what's called the regulatory basis of accounting, which is basis of accounting required by the state of Arkansas. So it's on the financial statements, it's a clean, unqualified opinion on the financial statements. Under the regulatory basis. There's another report. I'm going to flip back over to page 18 of the report, which is because you get received government funds, there's additional work we have to do related to internal control and compliance with laws and regulations. And on internal control, there is one finding. And kind of the categories of findings are material weaknesses, which are very, very significant, deficiencies, and then basically no findings, something we verbally report. We're categorizing this as a significant deficiency, and it relates to lack of review or lack of documentation of review on some items that we found during our testing. Now let me be clear that there was nothing, nothing that was accounted for incorrectly. No embezzlement, no fraud. We're not talking about anything like that. All we're talking about is that one of the things we look at is a good internal control process. And as part of that, there's review and supervising. And we just found a few instances where that wasn't carried out in accordance with, you know, the accounting procedures the school has in place. So like I said, it's not a material weakness, so it's not, it's not a big deal. It's not that big a deal, but it's something we wanted to bring to the board's attention. The last report is on compliance with state laws related to schools, and we looked at all of that, and the school's in compliance with all the state laws. There's no findings related to that. So basically, is overall pretty good report. And we noted that on the one finding we did have, there were some extenuating circumstances as far as personnel being out during that time and turnover in the accounting department that kind of led to that. So, and it's been corrected. Let me also point out it's been corrected since the audit. So.
Mr. Owens, is what we just talked about in the internal control, is that actually a process that needs to be put in place, or is it a segregation of duty, or?
No, the process is good. It was just a matter of a few instances where the process wasn't followed.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a operational issue, not how the internal control is established.
Okay. Yeah, so. Anything further?
That's it.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Principal reports.
Heather's out this week, and Matt's sick, and they wanted to share with you that the juniors took the ACT today, and I think they'll take it tomorrow. Spring break starts next week, and everybody's excited. There's a great musical this Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the high school, and then I believe there's a 5th, 6th grade Thursday and Friday night. Friday night, the high school's in the PAC and the 5-6 in the Black Box Theater. So we have two going on it one night, but it's okay. And that's what's going on.
Okay. Elementary funding update?
I wanted to tell you that they met today, the foundation met today, and they're real excited. Karen Parker is deeply involved in the foundation. She was the first vice president of Walmart Giving and has agreed to make her list of people from the original generation of the Walmart stock and so forth, and is writing a plan with them to raise the money. So they were pretty excited today of the progress that that's going. So they feel like in a year they hopefully have $8 million to rebuild the elementary school. And then I don't think that list got in here, but there's supposed to be a list of things that and I didn't realize you didn't have any, so it's my fault, but things that we're going to do with our leftover bond money. We just bought all new headsets so all the schools can use for the auditorium and new art sound, so you can really hear the kids better. And that was pretty expensive. And then we bought, we're getting new air conditioner for the library at the elementary. Over spring break, we're putting new fencing around the playground to protect kids and fix where the storm was and fix all the fencing. We're going to fix all the roofs at the elementary. I mean, really fix them, not just patch them, really fix all the roofs. And we're going to fix the parking lot at the elementary, and we're going to add to the parking lot. We're going to extend the one parking lot, like if you're in front of the gym, towards that way, and we're going to put a parking lot behind the 5th, 6th grade center, so that there's a lot more ample parking, because they had 180 dads come for the donuts the other day, and they had, when they have the carnivals, it's just crazy. So leftover money is, we're getting all the bids for that, but I want to say that's where the money we decided to go.
Excessive absences, attendance codes, busted disciplines.
Yeah. We've been writing new policies, the principals and I. And I sent them to you, but, oh, and we are full next year, so that's good. We have 1,210 kids next year. So that'd be great. And I know Jamie's concerned about the money. We'll have $700,000 from the extra kids next year, and hopefully at the end of next year that will be, we shouldn't have any problem with stuff next year, and we shouldn't be able to give a raise at the end of next year. So we have a plan for that. There were some decisions made on hiring this year that probably hurt us, and some scheduling things, and we were trying the best we could, but we also didn't know the state was going to take more out for, was it retirement or retirement? Mm-hmm. And that was a big hit to us, and that's why we didn't get the raise. The percentage that went to retirement was going to be the raise. Right now, we have an excessive absence. We want an excessive absence policy. Right now, we have an unexcused excessive absence policy and an excused absence policy, and we just want an absent policy because the principals sign the letters that are sent home anyway, so they will know if a parent has worked with them and they're doing homework, and they will make sure those parents don't get the letters. But we think the parents need to read it and be notified, even if their children are taken out. We had 230 people gone Monday at this school. And a lot of them were already leaving for spring break. And a lot of them had the flu. So that's money out of our pocket when we don't have kids in the seats. So we want to really strongly say it. So we would like just to have, instead of having unexcused and excused, just say excessive absence. Like it's okay that you can be, but you know, anywhere, if you go to college, we're not helping kids any. Unless they really have a sick, you know, parents can find excuses for anything, but to get that excused absent, but we really want to discourage it, because if a kid misses 6 days from a class, you wouldn't pass, you know, or stay at your job, just, and unless the parent has called and worked out something. So that's one policy. Do you want me to go over all of them and then vote them, each one, or how do we have to do this?
Well, I've read the policies.
We can't vote on any of them, really. Not, I mean, you only vote, they have to go through two meetings, right?
We need the first read, which would have been, then we need to vote on it.
So this is the first read?
Yeah.
Okay, and so there's lots and lots of attendance codes, and it gets messy, and it's hard on our registrars, so Heather suggested that we narrow them down, so the three of us narrowed them down, that'd be a lot less complicated for parents to figure out and a lot less complicated for the registrar. So we simplified that. We don't have a bus discipline policy.
I want to back up 1 second.
Yeah.
My only recommendation is that when you get ready to change the attendance policy, mm-hmm. and anything else that's going to have an impact to...
Mm-hmm. Send them to APSRC.
Well, that, but we also need to figure out how we communicate that out to the parents that it's... Yeah. It's coming,
uh-huh.
and
okay.
the reasons why.
Sure, absolutely.
So that they just don't think things are being changed.
Yeah, right. And we can wait for some of these in the fall, if we choose. We're kind of thinking more fall.
I don't care. I don't necessarily care when we do them. Mm-hmm. I just would like the notification going out to the parents
okay.
that we're getting ready to change
okay.
these policies, and these are the
yeah, for sure.
Why.
Absolutely, I agree. So we don't have a bus policy now. We have bus rules. But we don't have a policy. And we want to be able to kick a kid off the bus. It's a privilege to ride our buses. The bus is a gift. And we have a long waiting list. So a couple of the bullying incidents that parents have referred to happened on the bus. So we want to have a bus policy. Sorry, that happens when...
we don't move much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when things aren't going. We'd like to have a cell phone school contract. We have a policy for the cell phone in the handbook. And people sign that they read the handbook. I really doubt they read the whole handbook. The cell phones, there's probably 8 out of 10. I would say cell phones take 80% of the energy of the principals every day. And cell phones are what causes a lot of the bullying. Cell phones are, you know, they're not supposed to be taken out of their backpack all day. And parents are never going to go for not having them in the school at all because they really feel that the security thing with them. But... And I think at lunch it's still okay because kids listen to music and it kind of calms them down and they like to play games at lunch. But we have got to have some kind of policy. We just think a contract where parents really sign a separate contract, they know they can't deny this.
Is that in the student handbook or?
It's something similar to it.
I would change the heading on that to say something like cell phone student usage contract or something that points to specifically what you're talking about, because when I read that, I thought you were trying to implement some kind of cell phone usage contract for the school.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Just be a little bit more descriptive.
Sure. Citizen parent complaint policy. People don't understand that sometimes people go directly to me before they even talk to the teacher, and most of the time it's just a communication issue, and if they talk to the teacher, it's worked out right then and there. And it's insulting to the principals if they don't know before I know. And so we just want a policy where first they go where it originated from, the complaint. You know, like if the complaint's about the teacher, that they talk to the teacher first. If that doesn't work, then they go to the principal. And if the principal didn't work, they go to me. And if it doesn't work to me, it's not specific.
The chain of command is
not, and then it goes to you. We just want a
no, I agree. I thought that
I think it might be in the handbook, but it's not a policy.
Okay.
A policy stronger than saying this is what you should do. And a restroom policy, we've had incidents. We do have transgender children in the school, and we do have other genders. I mean, we have every kind of gender in the school, which is great, but sometimes. The law is that a transgender child chooses to go to the restroom of their gender, of the gender they're living. But there are other kids that are uncomfortable with the transgender being in the restroom. So we just want a restroom policy that we have individual restrooms in this school that you can use if you're uncomfortable with the transgender being in the bathroom, or if a transgender child is uncomfortable in the bathroom. And we have a little card we'd have that I have the actually where the restrooms are in this school, but we could have a little card where they could ask in the main office where are the individual restrooms, and they are marked where they can use them. That it goes both ways.
Sure.
So I'm just trying to protect all kids to feel comfortable. So this really isn't. That's all the policy changes. We do have a lunch. Price change, but that's not a policy.
That's charging policy for lunches.
Oh, charging policy.
And the board does need to approve that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Was in the packet. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's with Airmark. Okay. So that's all of them that we've been working on at this point.
I'm going to recommend that everybody read those between now and the next school board meeting. If there are any modifications, please communicate those to Mary. If not, then we'll just go ahead and vote to accept the policies as they are, or we'll accept them with the modifications that we agree on next week.
Okay.
Mr. Alsdorf, could we approve the meal charging policy? Child Nutrition is asking me to have that approved at this board meeting.
Has anybody read the policy?
I read it.
Okay.
The major changes, our old policy said we would pull lunch trays if a student reached a certain negative balance. And that's no longer the policy of the Child Nutrition statewide. So that's the only change, basically.
It's a good change.
Yes.
It means a child won't get too hungry.
Right.
All right. I'll entertain a motion to accept the updated meal charge procedure.
So moved.
Second.
Have a first and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Just a brief question regarding the other policy that we're talking about.
Sure.
The discipline with the
restroom?
Chain of complaint.
Oh, chain of complaint. Okay.
Yes, because I don't know what does it mean. Does it how enforceable it is? Because
it's probably not. It's probably not.
So it's just a recommended.
Yeah.
Right. Because sometimes I could very well see a scenario where the parent would not be comfortable with the teacher if there's a specific problem.
And normally the way I remember it being worded in the past is you go to the first person that you're having the problem with or there's an issue with. If you are not comfortable with that, then you should go to the next level.
Right. We could change it that way with the comfort thing.
Yeah, just so that people don't feel like, I cannot.
Absolutely.
I don't want to talk to the teacher.
Okay.
It's just to make sure they don't come straight to the board, to a board member, or straight to Mary when they should have worked.
Well, I know they should have, but I don't think we
might be a comfort level.
Yeah,
I don't think we should prohibit them from that, right? Because it's their right. Because there could be
I understand what you're saying.
They could be discouraged from complaining completely, right?
Yeah, and that's not the intention. It was just to make sure that.
There is one more policy that I hope to bring to the table next time, but I just can't find the laws on it. If anybody can help me, I would really be grateful. I Googled and Googled and made phone calls and can't get anybody to answer. One of the biggest problems we have, and it's one of the things that brings teachers down around here because different teachers do different things. When we have a transgender child, and they really have a transgender, but they want a transgender, and they want to change their name, it's recommended as a, so you don't demoralize that child, to call them by the name they would like for you to call. Right. Preferred name, thank you. But one thing that is jacking with a couple of teachers here, and I understand how they're feeling, and I don't have an answer, and I can't find the answer, is sometimes the parents don't know. Mm. And I feel if they're under 18, am I being fair to the parents? You know, what is a law? Yeah.
So, sorry, the question I remember the last time we had this conversation, right, which was several years back, was, what is the name of the child in the system of record?
Right.
And then is it up to the teacher or whomever in the school to know that that name is the legal name, but there's a preferred name?
Right.
That they would like to be called, and how do you reconcile that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Well, right now we've been calling children what they want to be called, and that's what's recommended in most of the things out there by different agencies. But one teacher that the other day said that the kid told him when the mom came to the conference not to call them that in front of their parents. So he's struggling with that. And I get it, you know, like, I get it, you know, so, but I don't know how to handle it.
So my suggestion, maybe you've already done this, I would go to the APSRC.
Yeah, I've called them a couple times, they haven't called me back.
Because there's two things I'm concerned about. One would be that situation. The other situation is if you have a sub come into the classroom and
right,
they're calling attendance, more than likely they're going to call out the legal name.
Right, we're supposed to protect the children by that. Heather even sent out a list to the teachers, I believe, that had the names they want to be called. And you're supposed to change. In fact, they even say you should lock up their legal copies so that the child isn't embarrassed, because some kids have been called that for years, and another child, their friends don't even know it. So that's the only thing I'm tripping over, is how do you handle the parent piece?
Is there anybody from Rogers or Bentonville that we can reach out to see?
Yeah, I could do that. We could do that. But I'll try. I'm just letting you know that's something I'm still struggling with that needs to be addressed.
Mary, on the bathroom issue, can I ask for clarification? Were you saying that you would want a child to carry a car?
No, no.
Okay.
If they want, if they don't know where they're at, we'd have a directional card.
Okay.
Give them a map. Yeah.
No,
that
no, they don't
perfect
have to,
sense.
They don't
okay
have to have a carry card, but some of them are kind of.
It's my fault. I shouldn't have been in the corner. Okay.
Yeah, there's one. You know, like there's one in the office. They are welcome to use that.
Right.
And then there's two, like
just provide something so that people
that
can reference it.
It.
Okay. Yeah.
Like a little map.
That's it. Mary, I have an opinion about the transgender thing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, my daughter has a few friends who still have to go by their dead names at home.
Okay.
And so I think before conferences or other, you know, parent interactions,
yeah,
it's probably appropriate for the teachers to specifically inquire, or maybe just to say in front of class, you know, if there's anything you want me to specifically know before I interact with your parents,
yeah,
please email me, because all the kids can email the teachers.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
And just to kind of put that out there, maybe at the beginning of each semester or right before parent conferences or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, there's a lot of literature to suggest that using people's preferred pronouns and their preferred names is pretty important.
Mentally
actually,
healthy.
You know,
yeah,
a suicide prevention.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Scary. Tactic. So I think if we just kind of like say, you know, this is what we're going to do with this issue, and it's it'll might be slightly difficult for the teachers. They might need to keep list.
Right.
You know, but we don't have a gigantic number of trans kids, so it shouldn't be incredibly difficult to keep that straight.
So,
okay. So.
The legal is coming in. It's basically just a question. I don't want the school to end up in a situation where the parent finds out that we've been misleading them, and then they come back and fire at us. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be in a situation where we misled the parent, mm-hmm. and then they come back and attack us for that.
I'm still digging.
I have an interesting person.
Sorry, Amber.
That's okay.
No, but it's not, I don't see how necessarily it's misleading, considering that all of the legal procedures, you know, what people call, which I, for example, prefer that my child is called Gregory. Well, everybody calls him Greg.
Yes. My child goes by her middle name. That's all I was going to say. What's the difference?
So I don't see a lot of difference. So imagine if I went every time and said, like, no, you know, I would correct everybody.
Agreed.
You know, I'm fine with it. And then if he would correct people, then, it's up to him. People go by middle name. People go by... So there's just a sensitivity issue.
Agreed.
But we're not changing anything legally, right? It's just communication.
Right. But when the student is putting the teacher in a position of don't use my preferred name in mm-hmm. front of my parents because they
that's
don't
awkward.
Want...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can call him Miss... You know, well, then it's also...
I'm just researching.
All right, researching.
I
want to do the right thing to Kara's... statement about, you know, the literature she's read and suicide and all this sort of thing.
I agree.
I'm extremely sensitive to that, but I don't want to be in a situation where...
Where our school gets...
Yeah.
That's where I'm awkward.
Okay.
And I don't have the course catalog today. It didn't get to us, but we'll bring it next time.
Okay.
And if you want to just go ahead and hit that real hard, I just wanted to know you how proud I am of Ozark Transport and sent you some stuff.
Oh, wow.
That's really amazing. It's free. They have spots all over Rogers now to pick up our kids. Wi-Fi, air conditioned.
That's great.
And they'll drop them off right here, and they're picking up. And all the child has to do is on a daily basis use their phone, download their app. Parents have it. And the best thing is parents can follow them all the way to the school, and they know when they're off and they know when they're on. Hmm. So they even have that technology to know. And it even works for, here you can have this. It even works for Bentonville. Bentonville and Fayetteville, or anybody, like, it would help some if you dropped them off at one of the Rogers spots. You don't have to go all the way into our school, but they can use it too. But that's thankful to Mayor Hines and the Ozark, and got a federal grant to do that, and they're doing it for our school in Hall's Hall. I think that's really nice.
That's great.
And Gregory took the bus from NY last year. It's great. You can see the bus moving.
You can watch the whole time.
On the app, too.
Yeah, it's cool.
But of course, it wasn't free.
But now it is.
Now,
I am going to call us into an executive session to talk about resignations and the new board position, or the board position is vacant.
And I want you to meet
Mr. Price.
Aren't you running? Right. Yeah, I just want them to meet you. He's the one I sent you the email.
Okay, so Mr. Price is interested in fulfilling the open position for Anthony Portia at the moment.
Fries.
Yeah, sorry.
Like French fries.
Yeah, it's all good.
We're fine, because I was confused too. I was like, hold on a second. I thought it was different.
He knows all the work.
I'm almost 70 years old, that's all.
I don't
know. So anyway, I wanted you to meet him. That's Nate. Like my Nate.
So Mr. Fries, is there anything you'd like to say to us prior to going to an executive session?
No, I'm just looking forward to the opportunity. I have 5 children in this school, third grade to sixth grade. 2 of them are a foster adoptive situation, but I believe in the school. I truly appreciate the support you guys have given our kids over the last 3-4 years. I'm just looking forward to serving any way I can.
Thank you very much. All right, so I'm going to entertain a motion to go into an executive session.
Motion to go into an executive session.
Do I have a second? I have a first and a second.
Do we have to approve the contracts before you go into executive session?
Are we approving after?
Yeah, but she, I think she wants
oh.
to take
it. I don't care
no,
either
I can
way.
No, I can bring it to her. She didn't care.
All right, we'll do it after executive session.
Okay.
So we're going to executive session at 7:15.
And you can go home, Debbie.
Okay.
Do I need to stop?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Vic, you'll have to leave too.
All right.
We're switching off, buddy.